listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular Podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. On this edition of the Open Wheel Spectacular, we're going to cover some of the hottest topics that have taken place over the past 2 weeks in the open wheel world as the racing season starts to ramp up here in the United States. Joining me again in the co-host chair is Derek Bean. Derek, over the past 2 weeks, we've had two of the best sports weekends I can remember in recent memory. We didn't record last week because we were too busy with everything. We had the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic. I had MSU basketball and then Detroit Lions playoff football all in the same day. This weekend, we have Volusia 360s, and by the time you listen to this, we'll have watched more playoff football. I can't remember a more fun sports January in recent memory than this one.
Yeah, you forgot to mention the Michigan National Championship football game, but that's okay.
What was that? No, I didn't mention anything important.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't miss that, did you?
No, I didn't miss that at all. Yeah. But you know, I even with that, I will admit, adds to the lore here in the local area of the sports realm. But it's just been awesome. I mean, it's just like a sports buffet. It's just going to get better because sprint car season's really starting to ramp up.
I'm excited for that. I know you are as well.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to get right down to it and cover the latest topics of the past 2 weeks in the open wheel world.
The latest dirt.
Aaron Reitzel was the winner of the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic last weekend at Premier Speedway. This race, of course, is the equivalent to the Knoxville Nationals of Australia. And this was the first time in, I think it was 15 or 16 years, that we've had an American winner, Derek. It was pretty incredible. It looked like for a bit we might get an American sweep to the top five before everyone else ran into trouble halfway through the race.
Yeah, we did. I mean, huge race for Aaron Reitzel. As far as his career goes, you got to say it's probably about the biggest win of his career, wouldn't you say?
I would say it's pretty close. I mean, it's got to be right up there. I'm not sure if maybe there's a more valuable win on his way to an all-star championship or maybe some of the stuff he's done at Knoxville. But, I mean, you can see the excitement on his face. It was really cool to see the American contingent do so well over there as well. I mean, we've struggled over the past few years. The competition over in Australia has become extremely tough, and to see the Americans do such a great job was absolutely incredible.
I agree. Like I said, you could maybe say the Knoxville Nationals for the 360 that he won would be up there with it as far as competition, but I mean, this was a 410 race. All the eyes were on it. So I agree with you. It's probably about the biggest of his career.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that maybe parlays in some success in some of the bigger races over here in the United States in 2024 for Aaron.
Yeah, we know he has the talent. That's for sure.
All right. What's up on the list next?
Colin Williamson will do a 3-month stint in the Trone 39 car on the Central Pennsylvania Sprint Car Circuit. Are you surprised by this?
I was when I read it. I mean, it was kind of funny. You know, it was hilarious reading the news about this. Is actually, they were kind of, the Trones were watching the same race I was in Perth, and they were watching Williamson work his magic around the Perth Motorplex, and they're thinking, this could work at Port Royal. He parlayed that into a 3-month stint in the Trone car. I think it's awesome because we haven't seen an Australian import in quite a while to Pennsylvania like this, and I think it's going to be really fun to see how he adapts.
That team obviously has struggled to have some consistency with drivers in the last few years, so to put someone who's really talented in and to see what he can do, I'm pretty excited to follow along with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see something like that in the Pennsylvania circuit. Adds a little spice to the deal. I mean, Pennsylvania has such a rich history of bringing in people to be part of the posse, and this is just the latest addition to that. Butler Motor Speedway announced their 2024 schedule. Of course, the Mace Thomas Classic with the High Limit Sprint Car Series was already announced on that, but there's also three Sprint Car doubleheaders along with the Chuck Wilson Memorial coming back for 2024. Derek, this is your backyard. What do you think of the 2024 schedule at your home track?
You hit those three doubleheader weekends, the GLTS paired with the 410s and then GLSS paired with 410s twice. With the track being like 10 minutes from my house, those are just races that I circled. They're easy to get to, great racing. When you talk about the 360 410 combo, there's usually, you know, 40 cars in the pits and great racing on both ends. So overall, I like the schedule for Butler. I love, of course, the high limit race there. And they do have a couple other memorial races that they try to bring in some different money and things. So I think it's going to be a good season for them.
Yeah, I was really happy. The GLTS 410 doubleheader was the surprise to me. That's the one that I kind of wasn't really expecting. It'll be interesting to see if that non-wing show will draw any Southern Invaders up for that program and how many car drivers we might see double dipping that night.
Yeah, I wonder too. They did that, I think, maybe one other year. It's been a couple of years since they've done that. So, yeah, that's going to be a time where I'll probably get to get out there and watch the non-wing for sure. The 2024 Attica Raceway Park schedule was released this week. TJ, did anything surprise you on that schedule, or is there something that you're looking forward to?
You know, I looked at it. It's pretty standard fare for Attica. I'm really interested to see what the vibe is on some of the weeks where the All-Stars were there, see mm-hmm. what that's going to be like and see if the energy is the same and see how it goes. I'm kind of interested to see how Justin Liskey, new general manager of Attica, feels his way through that new position there. It's good that Rex LeJune is going to be helping him, kind of guide him towards the position. Rex is a great person to learn from, so that's going to be – he is in good hands there. It'll be interesting to see, though, like I said, those All-Star weeks in particular. I'm really curious to see what those are like without the All-Stars in existence.
Yeah, it was one of those things when the schedule came out and I heard it was kind of the same old Attica schedule. I didn't look at it right away, but the same old Attica schedule is not a bad thing, especially with the AFCS races, and they're keep upping the pay, it seems like, every year. And they just have such a quality of car that goes there every week. It's really a can't miss kind of schedule for those people in that area.
All right. Now, another thing that came up this week, obviously, was Matt Westfall. He picked up a USAC National Midget Car Series ride for 2024 with Four Kings Racing, a new team on that circuit. Now, Westfall is going to be doing the USAC National Sprint Car Series with Ray Marshall, his full-time midget deal, and his family-owned Dirt Silver Crown deal. What are your thoughts on Westfall going full-time midget racing?
I was actually really surprised by this news. Not that I don't think he can handle driving a midget. He's a driver who I think can adapt to anything he jumps into. I just did not see this coming out for sure. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a busy year for him, and I expect him to do well in all the series.
Well, I think it's awesome because we've got another grown adult in the USAC Midget Series. And so Matt and I are about the same age, and he actually got his start running Neymar's Midgets. That's where I first ran into him. So this is kind of going back a little bit to, like, to what they were originally doing before he got into the sprint car, the late model, the modified, back to the sprint car, you know, and all the other things he has done. I'm really interested to see how this new team develops throughout the whole season. I think having a veteran like Matt to help develop a new program like that will be awesome. I think it's going to be a great thing for them to do in 2024. I'm interested to see how he stacks up against all these very aggressive young kids and see if maybe the old man can snicker one there rolling around the bottom or guiding this new team to a victory in 2024.
Yeah, it'll be fun to follow along with. Ryan Timms held off Justin Peck and Sam Haverty Jr. to win the Southern Sprint Car Shootout finale Saturday night at Volusia Speedway Park. That was a $10,000 to win top prize. What did you think of Saturday's program?
You know, I thought Saturday's was pretty good. I, you know, when Thursday and Friday, I kind of kept it off in the corner. I wasn't watching super close. I had some other work-related things I was doing. Saturday, I was pretty locked in. You know, I thought that the last lap restart there, it could have been any of those three guys. You know, it was interesting. I think Haverty just kind of took a little bit of Peck's momentum just enough away to let Timms get away there at the end.
Right. Well, first the lap track that kind of came in play, and then the caution, obviously, because it looked like Sam was going to take the lead, and who knows if anyone would have passed him out in clean air. And then, man, was Ryan Timms just rolling around the bottom the whole time. He got some momentum down there. He was just passing cars, and it was a good run for him. The car was obviously set up to his liking.
You know, I'm really interested to see what kind of momentum he carries into this year. I kind of expect big things from him this year, you know, now full-time really on a national stage for the second year after being, how should we put it, underage before he could participate in certain national series.
Yeah, and obviously he went to the midget last year, so I think on the wing side we kind of lost track of him a little bit, but it sounds like he's going to ramp that back up too. So yeah, he's definitely one of the most talented young drivers out there. So
all right, the other big announcement last week was James McFadden and Roth Motorsports announcing they were going to go to the High Limit Sprint Car Series in 2024. Roth is the second multiple car team to split cars between the World of Outlaws and the High Limit Sprint Car Series. Derek, what do you think of the second Roth car going over to High Limit?
You know, I had heard rumor that that was probably going to happen, and I guess it makes sense as far as you kind of have your team in both areas and you get to see kind of where you stack up. I think Buddy, obviously, we talked about that, was a huge addition to the World of Outlaws, but I mean, I think that McFadden could honestly be the biggest challenger to Brad Sweet. He was rolling last year before the suspension, and so I think it's interesting to see what he can do in a full season in that series.
Agree 100%, because I think Rico Abreu might end up being the leading feature winner in the deal, but may not be the champion in theory, just because of past performances. This is the first time he's really chased a championship. McFadden's a guy that's chased championships on multiple levels. He knows how to go about this. The Roth team has a depth of experience, and they have that second car running out there. Now, granted, KKR has two cars on the High Limit Tour, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that works with the two cars split between the two series. I think with everything that went down last year, it makes total sense. I didn't think you'd see McFadden back with the Outlaws. They weren't real happy with how everything went down last season, and this is the perfect outlet for them. And really, if you have a two-car team, why not split them between the two? It just makes way too much sense.
I agree with you.
So that's going to wrap up this edition of The Latest Dirt. So don't forget, race fans, to support the sponsors that make TJSlideways.com and the Open Wheel Spectacular podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Maxim Chassis, Dirt Track Nation. If you're interested in advertising, you can email us, TJ@TJSlideways.com. And also make sure to keep up on the Open Wheel Performance, All-Star Performance, I should say, Open Wheel Calendar. We're adding dates almost every day. Schedules are coming out like crazy at the moment. In fact, I have a backlog, Derek, of schedules I have to do immediately after the podcast. Track in series. So I mean, busy typing. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a second segment here. We're going to discuss the programs we're most looking forward to in 2024. This is the Open Wheel Spectacular Podcast. Well, Derek, it's the beginning of the 2024 season, and I've got a few events I'm probably looking forward to the most, and I got to thinking, I'm like, we should discuss what we are looking forward to the most in 2024. Derek, what's on the top of your list? What's one of the races you're most looking forward to this upcoming season, and why other race fans should be looking forward to it as well?
I mean, I don't know how many times I can say it on this podcast, but my number one show is the High Limit Show at Butler on June 1st. I mean, I love to see Butler back on like the highest stage with the best drivers. I think that the crew is doing a great job there. And really, when the racing is on at Butler, the racing is really, really good. So that could be a race that maybe people come up to Butler that haven't been there before. And I hope it's a success for them and they can keep moving in the right direction.
No pressure, guys. I kind of feel the same way. It's going to be a huge night for them. That is going to be I love seeing people that haven't been there in a while come back and look at that racetrack. That's the most fun part, you know, and that's like, wow, this is actually going so much better than it did the last time I was here. I heard that so much over the past 2 years. It's just, you know, we're pounded on this a lot, but it's neat to see something making a comeback like that. The next one on mine is one we already touched on a little bit, but it's still one that I'm looking forward to the most, is kind of the Attica Spring Nationals, April 12th and 13th. And the reason is I want to see what the atmosphere is going to be like. You know, they've had that event before without an All-Star sanction, but the All-Stars were still in existence. There's still all-star shows there. I'm kind of curious to see how that atmosphere, you know, changes, if it does at all, what the car count looks like and what the field depth looks like. Obviously, you're not going to have guys like Sunshine and Zeb Wise there, but I still think there should be a plenty of depth of talent that early in the year. I'm just curious to what the event's going to be like without the All-Stars.
I'm actually going to go for my next race to the other end of the season. The World of Outlaws, when they release that they're going back or going to Dirt Oval 66, I honestly thought that track was maybe closed for good. And for them to go back on a two-day show in the middle or at the end of October when there's not a lot of racing going on, I think that's going to be a great field, and I'm interested to see what happens to see if that track can start to bounce back.
I get nervous when I see racetracks at places like that that don't race a lot. It'll be interesting to see. And to put on a two-day show is super aggressive, and that's an easy one for you to get to, too. You just shoot directly west, and you can get there pretty easy. So, as do I. I'm on the right side of the state. That one, I'm still debating if I'm going to be at that one or not. Kind of depends. I think it probably depends on both of us, depending on various school things we both have going on with your job and my kid. You know, it's like and your kids as well. That always kind of helps throw monkey wrenches into the schedule. But I agree, that's going to be an interesting one to look at. One that's been on the top of my list, and a lot of mine are going to be outside the box choices. I mean, I'm looking forward to the Kings Royal, Knoxville Nationals, all the majors, all the standard big events. But the 25th Canadian Sprint Car Nationals is one I'm looking forward to. There seems to be a lot more push for more American participation in the event this year. They have increased the purse, and I'm hearing there might be more purse increases coming into the event as we work towards September. That's an event where I got to announce the first Canadian Sprint Car Nationals. Derek, that's making me feel pretty old now that I am actually going to be going to a race that I was at the inaugural event, and now I'm going to a landmark event like this where it's such a big deal. I don't know how I feel about that. And so it just means I'm getting old, man, but the 20th, not the 25th, my bad, 20th Canadian Nationals, but 20 years, man, at Oshawegan is just amazing.
I'm not sure if there's a race that was more affected by COVID than the Canadian Nationals, because that seemed to have a lot of momentum going. And then the last few years just haven't had that same feel to me.
No, it hasn't. And I thought last year was a real step forward for it, though. I thought But in some ways, it shows how strong that sprint car thing in Canada has become. They still had a really strong car count last year. I thought the three Nationals the previous year to kind of make up for it was a bit overkill. Yep. But last year, having it back down to one, I think it adds some prestige back to it. And really, it was just an awesome show. And it just reminded me of, like, man, I've got to get back there. And as you know, I'm a big pusher on international sprint car racing, right? And heck, there's no easier, especially living in Michigan, easier international sprint car race to go to. To literally almost head south for me, south and east, and go to Canada. So, I mean, it's their biggest sprint car race. It's their Knoxville Nationals. It is an incredible event. I'll never forget one of my favorite moments. It was the first time Justin Zock got to be on the announcing team with me, and they pushed out a heat race, and we're watching the first heat race. He literally didn't announce at all in the first heat race because his eyes were about coming out of his head with the action we were seeing in that first heat race, which was just insane. It's one of those heat races with lots of position changes, lots of like moves that kind of make your breath go away just for a second. He's like, holy cow, this place is legit. I'm like, yeah. That's what I've been telling people forever now. It's like, you got to get here and experience. So, like I said, 20th Canadian Nationals coming up in September, definitely on my must-see list. What's the next one on your list, Derek?
So this is coming back this year, and I'm really excited about it. USAC with their two-day show at Macon. I went to Macon by chance. It was actually our race that we were going to got heated out, of all things. So we ended up to Macon just for a normal show. And that is maybe one of my favorite tracks I've ever been to. And I watched the USAC race there last year, obviously on Flow, and the racing was phenomenal. So I think it's great that they're bringing this back June 28th and June 29th. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it out there, but I'm really looking forward to that race.
Yeah, it's one of those jet fighters in a gymnasium kind of races. I mean, it's so much fun. And I love little tracks. And that, and, you know, giving me non-wing sprint cars on a little track like that, absolutely. That's a great choice for that one. The other one I'm looking forward to is more on a journalistic standpoint. Is April 12th. High Limit and World of Outlaws going head-to-head on the same night at Peavey and Texarkana. Far enough apart. I want to see how it's going to play out. Which cars are going to go where? What kind of race we end up seeing? It'll be interesting to see who goes there on which night, you know, and who's going to go where, especially for the teams that haven't committed to either of these series for a full season.
Yeah, and it's early in the season, so it's going to be your first, like, the eyes are going to be on. There's going to be obviously a lot of talk about that conflict, and yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be where people are going, I think, have more eyes on it just for that fact, because it's going to be, for lack of better words, which one is better at that point in the season, even though it really has no implication on the overall season. People are going to probably try to pull that out of, well, look, they have here, they have here, whatever, doesn't matter. But I agree with you. There's going to be a lot of eyes on that.
What's next on your list?
Next on my list, you already mentioned this, I think, in a previous podcast, but the High Limit race at Davenport on June 4th.
Oh, that is yes.
Such a racy track, and of course, it's a midweek show, so anyone and everyone who wants to be there can be there. That is just, that is going to be a race that people should circle on their calendar.
I've seen two heat races on the short track at Davenport before I was rained out. Thought it was incredible. And I was talking to Mike Hess about this. This is something he was actually trying to get on the World of Outlaws schedule when he was still over there. I'm glad they're able to get that deal done. That is going to be a race. And that's a fun place, too. I mean, if you want to go to Davenport, and even you'll have a good time before the race, you know, if you hang out, find the right places. I had a good time there. It's a lot of fun. Should be an awesome weekend. My next one on my list is also a High Limit race. And it's April 16th at Red Dirt Raceway. And we remember during COVID, the show the All-Star Circuit of Champions had at Red Dirt Raceway knocked everyone's socks off. It was an incredible feature. And we were all talking about how we wanted to see more national level racing at Red Dirt. Everyone, it got attention of NASCAR people. It was a very entertaining event. Well, High Limit's going back there. I'm really looking forward to seeing them on that little racetrack. I hope they have a really good car turnout for it. That's going to be a blast.
Red Dirt just has, they released their schedule and I was looking at it. They just have an amazing schedule, and this is just one of a lot of great races there. So that is I agree with you. That track is so awesome. Small track with 410 wing sprints. I think that's going to blow people away. The next one on my list, I'm actually going to go a little bit way off the beaten path. I'm going to go with an extreme midget race, actually two of them. They are going to Doe Run in Coles County back-to-back May 30th and May 31st. I think midgets on micro tracks are where they are designed to be. Those are two interesting micro tracks. Coles is another one where I ended up there, actually after the Springfield Mile, just for it was a high-paying micro show. And they have put a ton of work into that place in the last year or so since there was a new owner. They're actually going to run D2 Midgets weekly coming up this year, and I just think that's really interesting combo of shows. Those two tracks I think could put on really good racing for midgets.
I agree 100%. Midgets, little racetracks, win-win. I know a lot of people like seeing them on big racetracks, but midgets on little dirt tracks are so much fun. That's a great grab right there. I think that is one that I'm going to be looking forward to, probably now that you mentioned it, that didn't hit my radar exactly. So I might have to look for travel plans on that one.
You could hit Miller on your way back home, I guess.
I know. Right? That's always the thing, right? It's on the way back home. Those are the best ones. It might be 4 hours out of the way, but it's in the general direction of being back home, right? So we've got to hit it up. I mean, that's the way this works, right? Yep. How happy are we to see the World of Outlaws back at Jacksonville? I mean, Jacksonville Speedway on, you know, it looks like it's May 5th. Actually, I had to look that up real quick. May 1st at World of Outlaws at Jacksonville. I mean, this shouldn't have been off the schedule to begin with. And I give Jacksonville all the credit in the world for putting this show on. They're one of those places where you look at the seating capacity and you're like, there is no way in the world this race should be taking place. And it just gets packed and somehow they just make it work. But, you know, it might be more of a promotional tool for them to use for their other races. But, I mean, I think it's awesome they go there.
For the listeners who don't know, you and I pick these and we don't talk about them in advance. And this is the only race that both you and I had on our list. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be so much fun. They do such a great job on the promotion side, too. I mean, everything they do there, I just love. And that's one of the other things that I just love about Jacksonville. Did you have any others you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, this one's a little bit, I thought, was unique to me. High limit at Florence on September 28th. Obviously, that is late model territory, and that is such a great track for late models. So I'm really interested to see what the 410 wing sprints look like on that track. First off, what kind of field they get and what kind of racing they get, which I expect is going to be really good.
Yeah, I agree with that. It should be a lot of fun there. And right, you know, taking, that's one thing High Limit's doing a lot of, is taking 410 sprint cars to markets we haven't seen them in a lot in recent years. That's going to be interesting to see how it plays there and see if that's something that comes back year after year. The last one I had really was a pretty obvious one, but the Maverick IRA co-sanctioned events in Indiana, June 20th through the 23rd. Obviously non-wing country. Most of these tracks specialize in non-wing sprint cars. There's a lot of momentum behind the Maverick series. And I think, you know, a lot of people have eyes on IRA after this weekend with that great story on Dirt Tracker about Steve Sinclair, who runs the Interstate Racing Association. It's a great series, both these groups are. And to have them, they're really, a lot of times you see co-sanctions, and it's like someone like the World of Outlaws or High Limit, and it's another series that isn't on par with it. It's more to maybe boost the car count or they're in their territory. But these two series should be really evenly matched.
Yeah, so we had been talking about, a couple of my friends and I, what we are going to maybe do for like a trip. And maybe that weekend we were looking at OVSCA is actually at Beckley that weekend. I think they're at Ohio Valley on Friday and then they go to Beckley on Saturday. But once this Maverick IRA deal came out, it was like, man, if we're going to go somewhere that weekend, this is where we're going to want to be.
Yeah, that's going to be an incredible trip. It should be neat. I think they'll have a really strong car count. I really hope this is the beginning of something that could be an annual event. This could be something really neat. It, you know, Indiana keeps saying, there's people in Indiana saying, we want more wing sprint car racing. But we haven't seen the turnout from cars. And I think some of it is the shows maybe aren't in the right price point for that market. This right. one should be. I mean, this should be a great fit. Now, whether it will be a great fit over that long of a time period with some races during the weekdays, we're going to have to see. But I hope it works because it's a really awesome concept.
I agree.
Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Open Wheel Spectacular Podcast. Make sure to subscribe if you want to listen to us each and every week. We're available on all major podcast programs. Next week, we're going to take a deeper dive into Florida Speed Weeks because we've got World of Outlaws, the High Limit Series, and the USAC National Sprint Car Series all getting into action over the next 2 weeks in Florida. And Derek, man, everything is starting to heat up. Racing season is really starting to get going here.
February is such a beautiful time of year, and we are all looking forward to it.
Well, thanks again for riding shotgun with us this week.
I thank you for having me.
All right, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular.